'Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the pearl.
Yeah, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks so much for listening on this Thursday morning. We absolutely do appreciate it. Joining us now on the line, always takes time for this show. We're very appreciative of that, from Springville. State Senator Jim McClendon's on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, I'm doing good. We had a good day in the Senate the other day, and I got a lot done, and I'm still real positive about the outcome of how we dealt with this gaming program that we've come forward.
I mean, certainly it looked, kind of dead and not going anywhere, even back as early as March. But here we are sitting here today, mid-April. The Senate got its job done. It got the CA through and all the accompanying legislation. Walk us through the process, because it was a bit of an unusual process with you leading the way here.
Well, it was. And if you'd have been watching it, and as my wife was, she was watching it from home on a laptop, and I think she finally gave up. And it's like, what is going on down there? The issue was simply getting the votes, and that's what we do around here. If you get the votes, you get your bill through. If you don't have the votes, well, you go work on something else. So we had some senators that had some changes that they wanted to get into the bill, or the bills, actually. And what we tried to do is thread those into a single amendment that encompassed all of these issues. And there's procedural reasons for doing that, keeping control of the mic and so on. But that's exactly what we ultimately did. We brought the bill up and substituted the comprehensive package, and then went to the other three bills that dealt with it, passed those, and then came back to this bill. So it was a little bit convoluted, but it was not, we were not wandering around. We had a plan when we went in there, and the plan was carried out, and carried out successfully, I'm so proud to say.
Well, and you had to change some minds, obviously, and you changed more than enough. What was that? Was it just giving the opportunity for amendments and making sure people got to check whatever box they needed to check to meet their, way they viewed they needed to represent their constituents?
Jeff, you understand the process pretty well. That's exactly how it worked. We'd have somebody say, you know, I've kind of got a problem with this bill if we don't do this or that. And so, the message was, okay, get that thing written up. Let's take a look at it. If we can get it in the bill, it doesn't hurt what our intent is, I'll be glad to take it. That's why we rounded up the votes and got what we needed. Here's the big picture. We can talk about it. It was fun. The strategy and getting it done and pulling the votes off, getting the amendments off, all of that was sort of an exciting process. But here's the big picture, Jeff. The people of Alabama have made it clear in poll after poll, they want the right to vote on whether we have gaming or a lottery in Alabama. The numbers are extremely high on positive for having the right to vote. Well, the Alabama Senate has come forward. We've got a package of bills dealing with this issue. It is giving the people the right to vote. And we've handed that ball off to the members of the House of Representatives. It's up to the House now to follow through, pass this bill, amend it if you need to, and let's get a bill before the people. I feel like the Senate has done their job remarkably and to the surprise of many, and it's now time for the House to do the same. So call your House member and tell them to get on this process. Give you the right to vote. If you don't like this bill, you don't like gambling, then you got a chance to go vote no. Make the ultimate decision.
That some of those things are I guess a little bit unusual, the way the bidding would occur for the licenses. Is that just the way you had to do it to reach a compromise? It's kind of a little bit of a Frankenstein result, but it seems like this was maybe the best path forward, which isn't always pretty.
Well, here's what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure we are initially in the initial bill a couple of weeks ago. We just set a price tag on a license to operate at a location. In Mobile, for example, had a price tag on it. And so we had some folks said, and I know this to be a fact, that other states, they put these licenses up for bid, and the high bidder gets the license. So we changed the bill. And this new bill that we came out with on Tuesday has the bid process. High bidder's going to get the bill. But if the current operator then wishes to match or beat that high bid, they're given the opportunity to do so. Well, what happens here? Well, for one thing, the state of Alabama is making more money. And when the bid goes up, that's money going into the coffers. That's money we don't have to pass taxes to raise. But it's giving those people who already have businesses going at with employees and with infrastructure and with capital expenses a chance to stay there and keep working. Now, they'll have to pay the price, but at least we're not going to squeeze out folks. Now, there may be some folks that say, I can't match that bid. Well, they're going to lose it. But that was a little convoluted, but I thought it was very, very smart and protected our Alabama people.
Well, and I guess it also gives the state to be in a better position to get a better deal than just leaving it up to single entities to kind of determine whatever they're going to pay, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. State's going to, we're going to have an initial income off of this thing when we sell these licenses. Could be hundreds of millions of dollars come right into the state coffers.
Senator, you mentioned the House and getting it through the House. That seems to be a bit of a hurdle. Well, we got 7 legislative days roughly left. What do you think? What are you hearing? What can you talk about on getting it through the lower chamber?
Well, I've talked to quite a few House members, and I really haven't found any. Heck no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do it. I've talked to several that are ready to get on with it, and the attitude, the most prevalent attitude I've seen in my very small survey of 5 or 6 people was, they sure would like to get this thing passed and get it out of the way and get it out of the Senate and the House so we can quit fooling with it. It's come up every year since I've been here, so there's a lot of House members who'd like to be done with it. Oh, one of the things I heard them say, Jeff, I thought was interesting, was that, well, they're giving me a hard time back home for voting on this, on that gas tax, for voting yes on that tax. So what I'd like to do is turn around and give them the right to vote on this to kind of make up for that. I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah, well, as we're turning the corner here and wrapping up on the third year of a quadrennium almost, I guess that fourth year is essentially kind of a lame duck year. You don't typically get the big things passed. What are you going to have to run on for re-election? A lot of these members are going to be asked that question, I think.
I'll tell you what, now, if I was going to run against an incumbent and they didn't give the people the right to vote for this, I would make an issue out of it big time. I'd bring it up, and I wouldn't let them get a free ride on denying the people the right to vote.
Hey, that I would think would cause somewhat of a backlash. I guess the next step, though, is it's the leadership in the House, really, I think it's going to dictate where this goes. And I don't know. To me, they've been either noncommittal or just outright silent on any gambling discussions this session. You think that's going to change?
Well, they're meeting right now. I got on the elevator coming in the State House this morning, about 7:30, I guess. And I was on the elevator with the three of the House members, and they were on their way to, this is the Republican caucus members, and they were on their way to a meeting to visit with the leadership and discuss this comprehensive gambling package that we've sent them to work on. So they're not just ignoring it by any means. They're talking right now. So if you got some House members, you could lasso and drag on to the show. It would be informative.
We'll certainly give it a shot. We're joined by State Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Senator, I want to move on to another topic. You are, of course, the chairman of the Senate Health Committee. You got a speech planned later this morning or later today. Dealing with how we got to deal with public health and the bureaucracy that handles it. Now, you've in the past just kind of hinted at the idea that we need to remake it in a way. What are you? What have you got in mind?
Well, let me give you a few facts. Why would anybody go to the trouble to upset the bureaucracy? Well, I'm going to tell you why. This is Alabama. Population with diabetes, we're 49th in the nation. Infant mortality rate, we're 49th in the nation. Population with premature death, we're 48th in the nation. Percent of population with health disease, we're 47th in the nation. Now, I've got one. Here's another statistic. And we're first in the nation. And that's illegal opioid prescriptions. This is a terrible state of affair for our people to live under these conditions. So I have looked at the agencies that are basically in charge of health policy in Alabama. One of those agencies is the Alabama Department of Public Health. You're familiar. You've seen them on the television talking since the COVID virus. The Alabama Department of Public Health, that state health officer, is appointed by and answers only to a private group of doctors. It's amazing. We don't have any other state agency that's appointed by a private group of people. The Department of Public Health is not answerable to the governor. It is not answerable to the legislature. They're answerable only to the people that hire them. And that's the Medical Association, which is a private dues-paying organization. Well, I've got to be able to make some changes. It's the folks at the top of the pyramid is where the changes have to be made to make Alabama a healthier place. I've got a couple more statistics for you.
All right.
Annual salary for physicians, fourth in the nation. Annual salary for registered nurses, 49th in the nation. We got a problem here, folks. And the only way I know to attack it is at the top. And I have been blocked every way from sundown. But I am not done, Jeff. I am not done on this issue.
Well, you raise a good point, because here we are told to put all this confidence and trust in our health officials in this state. And you look at, before COVID, take COVID out of the equation and the way that's been handled, and you look at what has been accomplished, and you look at the health statistics, not exactly a healthy state that we are in Alabama. I don't know what criteria, but diabetes or whatever, you could go down the list, opioid prescriptions, et cetera. I guess when you talk about it that way, it makes sense to, why don't we take a closer look at health in this state?
Well, that I am working on it, and I'm telling you, the people that are in power now, the private group that's in charge of these agencies, they're tough. They're really tough. They're hard to deal with, but I'm going to keep working. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, present some of this information I just gave you. I'm going to make sure that the entire Senate's aware of it. I've worked on part of the Senate. I've got a bill sitting out there to change some of these things. I've been blocked on getting it on the calendar for debate on the Senate floor. But I'm on use the bully pulpit, and we're going to talk about this.
We had your counterpart in the House, Paul E., on the program not too long ago, and he seemed open to these ideas as well, but he wanted to wait till we were a little bit past or beyond the pandemic before we started going in and making wholesale changes. Does that seem fair?
Nope. No, it's time to go to work. Yeah, you can always find an excuse. Well, let's wait till next year. Well, why don't we just wait till the next year? Look, we've got babies dying in Alabama at the highest rate in the nation. Well, why do you want to wait till next year? Don't you care?
Well, I guess being in the middle of a pandemic, this was his reasoning, that there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts and pieces, and to go in and try to fix something, like fix the car while it's still running, it will prove to be a difficult challenge.
Oh, well, as far as changing leadership at the Alabama Department of Public Health, the bill that I've come forward with has a 12-month delay in there. So we're not going to change horses in the middle of the stream. We're going to change horses, but we're going to do it a year from now when hopefully all this pandemic business has gone about. I'm not targeting any single person at public health. They've worked hard. I know they've worked hard. But I am targeting the system, and I'm ready to get the system caught up with the rest of the world. We're so far behind in healthcare rankings here in Alabama, it's embarrassing.
But do you think we need a little time to do an assessment, kind of see what needs to be done, or do you already have that in mind?
I got it. I've been reading it to you.
So just those aspects of it, but not... I guess so.
It's an unhealthy state.
Well, fair enough.
Jeff, for you and your wife and your child and me, we're doing pretty good. You don't have any complaints about the health care you're receiving, do you? I personally don't have any complaints. But I'm telling you, when we look at the cancer death rate in Alabama, it's 42nd in the nation. Something is bad wrong here. It just is probably not impacting anybody in the legislature.
So out of sight, out of mind. I guess your hope is to bring attention to that.
I'm going to bring attention to it. I've got bills sitting out there, and we'll see who's listening. And my plan is to bring this attention today, and I may do it again the next time we meet, may do it again, and then I'm going to start coming forward with solutions and present these solutions. But one of the things I'm working on is creating a midwife program in the Black Belt. They don't have any doctors, and that's one of the reasons they got the high infant death rate in the Black Belt, highest in the nation,
right?
Is there's no doctors. So if we don't have doctors there, maybe we can get midwives. And so what I want to do is put a program in and train the people that live there. I don't want to train people from Florida and Tennessee. I want to train people, give scholarships to folks in the Black Belt that'll stay there and help deliver those babies when normal medical care for these deliveries is not available.
Well, Senator, we're up against a break here, but I do appreciate you making time for us. We're going to keep an eye on all of this, I guess, progress in the House on gaming, and then obviously what you got to say, your remarks later today.
Thank you, Jeff. I always enjoy being with you, and I always enjoy, I get your program over my phone back home when I'm working around on my farm. I tune in whenever I possibly can. I always enjoy it. You have some fascinating people on there. Thank you. I
appreciate you saying that, and it's a good reminder to plug the TuneIn app. Senator, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great morning.
Thank you.
That was State Senator Jim McClendon. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
It's good times to good times. Oh, y'all get your drinks up high. Everybody feeling all right. Damn right. Tonight is bottoms up. Quiet little country town, get up, drop a tailgate.